In the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, and he speaks here in chapter 10 about the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, amen? Mighty through God. We can do nothing without the Lord. We cannot do nothing spiritually. We cannot resist the devil. We cannot oppose the forces of darkness without God's word and without his spirit. But verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." So they're not of this world. They're not flesh. They're not bones. They're not blood. They're not of this world. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, or vain even imaginations, as Paul says in another place, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to read it again. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts and our minds. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, when I came to Jesus Christ, when I got saved, there were many strongholds in my mind. And if you notice what the apostle says here, he says to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations in our mind, high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God in our mind, and bringing into captivity in our mind every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And victory in Jesus Christ is solely dependent upon the battlefield. And that battlefield is in our head. It is in our minds. It is not in this world, our brothers and sisters, friends this morning. Our enemies are not within the church or even with outside the church, amen? They're not each other. And the enemy will try to put us one against another, but we must resist those thoughts in Jesus' name. If we have thoughts against another brother, another sister, or even those, our neighbors outside or wherever, in our workplace, our colleagues, whatever it means, if we have thoughts against those, we must cast them down in Jesus' name. For God has called us to walk in harmony and unity with every man, amen, and every woman in this world. We're to walk in love before all men, the apostle said. And our mind is the battlefield, because our thought lives control our life. How we think controls our life. How we think controls the decisions that we make every day of life. And we want to be those that are controlled, because Paul says here, bringing every thought into the captivity and the obedience of Jesus Christ. Bringing our thought lives into obedience of Jesus Christ. And if our thoughts control our life, if they're not the right thoughts, or if we can't control a certain thought, then it can become, or it maybe has become, a stronghold in our minds. A stronghold. You say, what is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is an area of dominance. An area of dominance in our life. In the Old Testament, a stronghold was a place where the enemy held the advantage and the dominance over an area, over a particular area. And God had told his people to go in and destroy the strongholds. Amen. So a stronghold is an area of dominance, and Satan wants to dominate our minds. When I came to Christ, like so many here this morning, when I came to Christ, there were so many strongholds in my mind. And I had been shaped by culture, shaped by my family, shaped by my sin, and the things that I thought and how I thought, and all the preconceived ideas and the strongholds that over those years from childhood till I got saved, strongholds that were in my mind that it only took God through His Word to destroy those strongholds. And there's many of us that come to Christ with so many strongholds in our mind, and we think they're all right, but God has to destroy them because they don't come into line with the Word of God. Amen. And if we ignore them, and if we ignore God's conviction in these areas, if we ignore God's word for these areas, then we are ignoring what God wants to do in our life, to destroy the enemy. To destroy the enemy. And even though I was saved, I came to the cross, I was saved, the enemy still had a foothold, amen. But friends, praise God, God wants to conquer the whole land, amen. He wants to conquer the whole promised land. And just as it was in the children of Israel, He wants to conquer this promised land. He wants to conquer our minds so that we can live a victorious Christian life. We want to be those that are going up in God. Not going down and going up, going down and going up and going down. And I know there are times in life where we go down into a valley. But we don't live in those valleys, amen. God brings us back out of them, amen. But we should be continually, even though we go through these dips, even though we face some challenges, we should always be growing in God and greater in God. So it's important that when we come to Christ, that we let Him destroy the strongholds that exist in our minds. And as believers, it's important that we don't allow the enemy to build new ones. And I want you to hear this, because we can allow the enemy to build new strongholds in our minds. Amen. Whether that's through it being judgmental, whether that's being unforgiveness, bitterness, these are strongholds that can get a hold of us. And I know many Christians who once were great Christians, but because of some maybe unforgiveness, some root of bitterness that sprung up in them, because Paul talked about it. He says, don't allow roots of bitterness to come up in you again. Friends, that's why the table's here, amen. We come before God, we say, Lord, examine us. God knows our hearts. Never try to hide anything from God. Never, because you're wasting your time. God, we're an open book. We're an open book before God. He knows everything about us. Everything. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we're going to do that God won't know about and doesn't know about. And if He convicts us, then we must confess it before Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And that's even thoughts towards our neighbors. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us very clearly just where this battle takes place. And here, Paul says, the weapons of our warfare, first of all, he says, they're not carnal. He says, they're spiritual. They're spiritual. So, the weapons that we will use, which we'll look at in a moment, the weapons that we use are spiritual. They're not a carnal weapon. We don't take up AK-47s or handguns or anything like that. We lay those things aside. We take up the Word of God. Friends, more can be accomplished with the Word of God than any weapon of physical warfare. So Paul says here, he says, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. And secondly, he says here, that the pulling down of strongholds in our minds, cast down imaginations which are in our minds, cast down high things in our minds, every thought in our minds to the knowledge of God. Pulling down and casting down the works of the enemy. Because we want to have a clear mind. We want to have clear thinking. We want to know what our thoughts are. And we talked about it one other time at the beginning of the year, how we need to filter the thoughts that come into our minds. And those that are not of God and not of Christ and don't come in line with God's word, we need to cast out. We need to reject them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because not every thought that comes into our mind, Paul dealt with that in Ephesians where he spoke about the fiery darts of the wicked one. The thoughts that he puts into our minds, that he fires at us day in and daily. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "What a man thinks in his heart, so he is." What do you think about yourself this morning? What do you think about yourself this morning? What a man or woman thinks in his heart, so he is. How we think determines how we are. If you think you'll always be like that, well then you'll always be like that. But if you allow the word of God to get inside you, and say, "Lord, you know, I don't have to stay like this. I don't have to be like this. I can change. I can change. I can become greater in God." Maybe you say, "I could never get up on a Sunday morning, a Lord's Day morning. I could never get up the way people get up and they give thanks to God. I could never do that. I could never do that." Well, as long as you continue to think that you will never do that, then you will never do that. But if you would say to God, "Lord, I would love to do that. But you know what, Lord, you need to help me. I just have that fear of getting up there and speaking in front of people. Lord, could you help me?" And you begin to cast down that. What? Don't say you can't. Don't say you can't. Because God's word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And for you, that might be an area where you would love to get up and you'd love to give thanks. But you just feel you can't. Well, I would encourage you to do it, amen? Because there is a liberty, there's a freedom in it, amen? And it's another battle, amen? Another battle won. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. How we see ourselves is how we will be, amen? How we see ourselves is how we will be. I remember when God called me to be a pastor, he showed me from the Word of God. I was on honeymoon at the time, and I was reading through the Word of God, and he showed me. And I remember saying, "No, Lord. No, God. I could never do that. I must have got this wrong, Lord. There's no way that I can do that." And I shut the Bible very quickly. And I just laid aside and dismissed it. But the convicting power and the drawing power of God confirming his word to me. And I didn't want to do it. I says, "No, I'm happy being saved. I'm happy sitting where I'm at, Lord. Lord, just leave me alone." But I knew that that was God's best for my life. Amen. And I know that there are some people who are not living God's best for their life. Because they have taken God's second best. Because God has showed them the way that he wants them to take, but they've rejected and says, "No, Lord." Whether it's through they just didn't want to do it, or whether they just had a fear of it. And sometimes there can be both. And in my own personal life, it was both. There was the fear of it, and there was also the not really wanting to do that, because it involves commitment, it involves study, it involves sacrifice. But there was also the stronghold that I couldn't do that. "Oh no, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that." And I kept seeing myself differently. Till God showed me, "How do you know what you can do? How do you know what you can do? You can do all things through me. And if I have called you to do it, I will equip you to do it." And I had to begin to see myself as that. And continue to see myself this day to the calling that God has placed upon my life. Amen. And even when things are hard, things go against you, and the enemy comes in and he tells you, "What are you doing? What on earth are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing that for? And I have to get up and remind him, because God has called me to do it. And it's the same with all of us. God has called us to do it. How we see ourselves is how we will be. In other words, if my mind goes there, so will I. And if we see ourselves as continually weak and feeble and never accomplishing anything for God, then that's where we will be. But if we see ourselves through God's eyes, where God sees us, and the people that God sees us to be, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us, that we can overcome all things, that we can destroy every stronghold, every vain imagination, that we can live a victorious Christian life that the Bible talks about, walking with the enemy always under our feet, friends. Always under our feet. Walking in victorious, that surfing as it were, on the wave of the Spirit, living that victorious Christian life where nothing deters us. But it takes commitment. But it starts with the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus says, if a man commits adultery in his heart, he has done it. So it's to do with thought, how we think. Friends, we need to be thoughtful of the Word of God and apply the Word of God to our lives. Because our weapons are spiritual. The Word of God is a weapon that we use against the enemy. But what kind of things can be strongholds? Well, anything can be a stronghold in our minds. And I mentioned too, bitterness, unforgiveness can become a stronghold where the enemy dominates that area of our life. Bitterness through whatever, something that life has threw at us, or something we find ourselves, we get a chip on our shoulder. And we think that the world owes us something. And we get into this downward spiral of self-pity. And we look at everyone else and we judge everyone else and we blame everyone else because of our lot. And we need to be those that can destroy that stronghold. Never feeling loved can become a stronghold. Never believing that you're good enough can be a stronghold. Believing you will always stay the same. Believing you can't give up addictions. There are people who believe, there are Christians who believe that they cannot give up addictions. Friends, I stand here this morning as a testimony that there's not an addiction that Christ cannot break if we're willing to give it over to Him. I'm not going to name them this morning, but I was addicted to many things. Many things. Things that I would never even mention. But when I give it over to God, and I give it over to God, He delivered me from every one, amen? And we got to be believers in the Word of God that He can deliver us from whatever addiction. I don't care what it is. Oh, but you don't. I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ delivers from all addictions, amen? All addictions. So if you have an addiction, please give it to Him. Give it to Him and walk away from it. You say it sounds so simple. It is. Because it's faith. It's faith. It's faith. You say, how can you say that? I have struggled with something for years. I did it. I brought it to Him. I brought it to Him. I give it to Him. But sometimes we're not willing to let it go. Because sometimes that addiction can become a crutch. And we can lean on it. It's a comfort. Friends, learn to lean on Jesus more. If you're leaning on that addiction more than you're leaning on Jesus, friends, God help you. That will be your crutch for the rest of your life. There's total deliverance. The captive can be set free. And I don't care. I do not care what the addiction is, what the problem is. There's nothing that Jesus cannot set free. Free of. Believing you'll always be poor, never having enough. God will always give and supply what we need. But the Bible also says, give and it shall be given unto you. The Bible says, tithe. And we haven't time to go into it this morning, but we need to tithe unto God. We need to sow into God's word and work and into His kingdom. If we sow it, we reap. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If I sow, if the farmer goes out and sows 10 seeds of corn, well, that's all he will get. 10 stalks of corn. But if he goes out into the harvest field and he sows thousands of corn, seeds of corn, well, he's going to get a bountiful harvest. And friends, if we're only given small amounts, we'll only expect to receive small amounts. Amen. As your faith is, so let it be unto you. It's our faith this morning. Believing that. Here's another one. Believing. People live in fear because their father died of cancer. I'm going to die of cancer. Friends, that's a stronghold. Why? Because some scientist says it's in your DNA. Friends, I don't accept that in Jesus' name. I won't accept it in Jesus' name. I won't accept it. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. In His strength. When I got saved, I started a new line. Amen. It doesn't matter what my ancestors were like. Amen. It doesn't matter who they were, what they did. And some of them weren't very great. Friends, but I started a new line in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my descendants, it's a new race, a new line in faith in Christ. And people believe and live in fear of that. You don't have to live in fear of that. Another stronghold is believing you're gay and that you were born that way. It's a sin. The same with fornication. Young men run around with half a dozen women. That's sin. It's wrong. Believing you're not good enough to be saved. There are people who believe they're not good enough to be saved. That's a fact. You're not good enough to be saved. But the grace of God has saved you anyway. Amen. Praise God for it. Believing you're better than everyone else. Friends, don't get so high that you feel you're better than everyone else. Amen. It can be a stronghold. Pornography is a stronghold. Etc., etc. They go on. Vain imaginations. Allowing our minds to be carried away by daydreaming. We can be daydreamers. Vain imaginations. Continuing to dream about what we want instead of going out and getting it. Amen. And being the person that what God wants us to be. We can live in dreaming. Oh, if only. Oh, if only, only, only. And you dream and you dream and you dream and your life goes by and you're still dreaming. Amen. Instead of saying, I'm going to go out into this world and I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to be someone. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve my community, make my community a better place instead of living off the social welfare system. Now, thank God for it. It's there in place for us if we fall on hard times. Thank God for it. But if there's nothing wrong with me, if there's nothing wrong with me, if I am fit and able to work, well, then I should be working. But you see, I have people, friends say to me, but you're only working for the minimum wage. I get more in benefits. I don't care. You work for the minimum wage, amen? Because the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And friends, we got to get off because our country is devastated. Our nation is crippled. The United Kingdom is crippled. Crippled. It's in dire straits. And it's going to be centuries before we get over it. Centuries. Now that's maybe the fault of the governments that we've had in. But our country is in dire straits. Our nation is in dire straits. And we need to be those that are able to pull together. To pull together. And friends, there are those that are not putting into the pot. You see, when a man works and pays tax, he's putting into the pot. We're all putting into the pot. That's what society's about. We're putting into the taxpayer's pot so we can help each other. We can help ourselves when we come to pension age. That we can draw out of that pot. But there's people drawing out of that pot and they've never put into the pot in their life. They've never put into it. There's whole generations of people that are drawing out of the pot because their grandfather drew out of the pot and their parents drew out of the pot. And now they're drawing out of the pot, but they never put anything into the pot. Never put anything into society. Friends, these are strongholds that they need to be destroyed in our nation, in our people. And when we come to Jesus Christ, these things need to be destroyed, not held on to. Not held on to. I know a woman that wouldn't let go of her DLA car, and there was nothing wrong with her. There was nothing wrong with her. She came to Christ and says, praise God, that'll be great. She'll begin to sort herself out. She'll begin to get her life on track. And friends, she walked away from God because she didn't want to give up her DLA car. Friends, if we get to that place, God help us. God help society. And I didn't mean to say all these things this morning, but they're on my heart. Friends, God has made us men and women. I thank God that when I came to Christ, He made me a man. Amen. I thought I was a man at 20. I was no man at 20. Amen. I became a man at 23 when Jesus Christ saved me. And He began to destroy the work that the devil had done in my life for years. And molded me and shaped me into what He wanted me to be. Believing in other things that, you know, that these are things that, casting down vain imaginations, things that exalt themselves higher than God, than the knowledge of God. Thinking we know better than God. And you'll meet people like that. Oh, you'll meet people like that. They know better than God. They're up there. They know it all. They know it all. Any thought that holds us captive, anything that we can't let go of. Friends, anything that we can't let go of has a hold of us. Anything that we can't let go of has a hold on us. Any fear that holds us captive, any past sins, any past failures that hold us captive are all strongholds. Anything that has dominance over our lives, we need to begin pulling them down, casting them down. Everything in our minds that stop us progressing in God, going on in God, because our thoughts control our life. Let me close. The Bible says, or Paul says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, they're spiritual. Jesus, when He was attacked by the devil or tempted by the devil, used the Word of God. Friends, we got to get the Word of God in our minds, in our mouths. And we got to speak it. If you have something, you got to speak it against it. You got to take hold of the Word of God and speak it against that addiction. You got to take the Word of God and speak it against that stronghold, that fear. You got to say to that fear, if you've been living in fear, you got to say to that fear, in the name of Jesus Christ, God's word says, fear not, for my future has been taken care of, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I tear you down in Jesus' name. You got to use the word of God in the name of Jesus to tear that thing down. You got to come against it. If it means wrestling with it, you got to wrestle with it. Friends, there are things I stayed up all night wrestling against, because I tell you, they had a hold. They had a stronghold of me and I didn't even know. And I was even saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but there were still things there that needed to be broken. And God, if you pray to God and say, Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? That needs to be broken. Controlling. Men have a thing about control. You know, I love the Word of God says where a wife should submit to her husband. But friends, men in the church have abused that for years because they've taken that to be control. You don't control anyone, amen. Never even your wife, amen. You don't control it. You don't control her. We're equal. Now, a woman submits herself to the authority of her man because that is God's ordained way, amen. But we don't control anyone. We're not allowed to control anything because controlling thing is of Satan. And we don't allow those things. And we need to come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. And these are only a few. Are your thoughts this morning stopping you from moving forward in Jesus? Because that's what Satan will do. He wants to hinder your walk, your progress, your victory in Him. He wants to hinder us from moving forward. But Jesus, God, wants the whole promised land. Amen. He wants the whole package. He wants it all. He wants it all. Sometimes people will come to Christ and say, well, Lord, you can come into this room of my life, you can come into this area of my life. You see, then we areas there, well, that's really for me, and nobody gets in there. Lord, you can have that there on a Sunday morning or whatever, and that's okay. And you can live like that. You can live like that because Jesus will not force Himself into your life and take over your life without you surrendering to Him, because it's all about surrender. It's all about giving of our lives to Him. But He wants the whole thing. And just when you think you've given him your all, he'll ask for more. That's what God does. And just when you think, Lord, I can't give any more. And then he'll say, well, and he'll point something out and say, what about that? And he wants to come in and dominate the whole area of our life. Why? Because he wants to make a whole person. He wants to make a whole man. He wants to make us as we were, amen. Now that'll never happen in this scene of time. It'll be eternity before we become the way we should be. Because this old flesh has to die and go back to the ground and put on immortality. But God wants to dominate every area of our life so that we can serve him. Because it's all about serving him. But I think sometimes we have got to the place that we think that God should serve us. We think that God should serve us. Because we're all busy asking for everything. There's nothing wrong with asking God. I ask God for many things. But sometimes we come like the children come with a Christmas list. We have got it. And we never, just at the end, Lord, thank you. You know. But Lord, what can I do for you? How can I serve you in my community? How can I serve you in my life? How can I give of more time, Lord? I'm here living for me and taking for me and thanking you that you're blessing me. But Lord, how can I, with 2013 coming in, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I do more for you, Lord, that I haven't done already? How can I serve you more? How can I meet more needs? How can I surrender more of myself unto you, Lord, that you can have more of me in 2013? So that I can live that victorious Christian life. And that I'm not just going from pillar to post. But Lord, that I'm living victorious for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.